good to be here with all of you. My name is John Simonson. I'm the associate pastor here at Foley United Methodist Church, and I welcome you to the service in the well. What a great day to be here. I don't know about you, but that last song just is really powerful. I love that image of being made clean in Christ. We all need that, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. As Pastor Nolan said a little bit earlier, we are in this new season we are calling Be Renewed. There is a ton of stuff going on. There is a ton of stuff and information out there. We have prayer walks happening on Wednesday. We have a virtual prayer vigil happening Wednesday night. There are small groups meeting. Everything is based around being renewed. And if you want information about that, you can go to foleyumc.org/be renewed. That's foleyumc.org/be renewed. And you will find a ton of information about that, about our new season. Also, we mailed some packets out, so you should have received some packets in the mail. There's some information in there. And there's also this little booklet on the giving discipleship journey. We really want to encourage you to go through this booklet. It will be challenging. It will kind of give you an idea of what kind of giver you are, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the sermon as well. But I want to challenge you to go through this booklet and read the information that came in that packet. Last week, Nolan started this series, and we talked about renewing our heart. We talked about how life is rough. 2020 is rough. Things happen in our life that kind of make us lose heart. But it's our job as Christians, our job as believers, to renew our heart, to find hope where hope is given, and that's in Jesus. Just like that song said before we got to worship or got to the sermon, was that's where we find hope. It's about renewing our heart in the midst of everything that is going on. We find hope in Christ. This week, we're going to talk about the second part of being renewed, the second thing that we need to work on renewing. And I'm not going to lie, this has been a challenge for me. I wrote a sermon and I didn't like it, so I've been rewriting it in my head all week, especially this morning. And I think the reason it's so difficult is because it steps all over everything I know. And this week we're going to be talking about renewing the way we think, renewing our thinking, and bringing it in line with Christ. And that's why it's been so difficult for me, because it challenges everything I've grown up knowing. So I want to start by reading the scripture first. We're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be reading verses 20 through 24. It says, "But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ. Since you really listened to him and you were taught how the truth is in Jesus, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit, and clothe yourself with a new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. Now these words are true, and these words can be trusted." We know that. We believe that. But then we read, something like this, and it begins to challenge everything we know. I think this has been so hard for me because it changes everything I knew, everything I learned, or challenges everything I knew, everything I learned growing up. Because that's who we are, right? We are who we think we are. We are how we think. It also challenges my understanding of how I interact with other people. And it challenges my understanding of faith. How how faith works, what faith is, and how we live fully into faith. I read a quote from, I can't even say his name, it's some really old guy, De Socrates. He said, "I think, therefore I am." My youngest son is giving me a thumbs up saying that's right. So he knows more than I do. Isn't that a true statement? We are the sum of what we think. The way we grow up, the environment we grow up in, the parents we have as we grow up, the grandparents we have and their influence on us, what's happening in the world around us as we grow up defines how we think about life. And how we think about life defines who we become, how we act, how we think about ourselves. If Paul in Ephesians is correct, then what he's telling us to do is to renew the way we think and change everything we think we understand and begin to filter everything through the lens of everything Jesus has taught us. Paul tells us that we have this new life that we're invited into, this new life in Christ. How can we have a new life if we're still thinking the way we learned in our old life? That's what was so challenging for me, because I know who I am. I know who I think I am. I react to things the way I've always reacted to them. But if I truly want to renew my thinking, then I have to begin to filter things through everything I learned in Jesus. It changes how I see myself. It changes who I see when I look in the mirror. I mean, I know there are people, many of us, that look in the mirror and may think they don't like what they see. They don't like who they've become. But if we're going to renew the way we think, and we're going to think through this filter of everything we've learned in Jesus, then we have to look at what he's taught us. We have to begin to see ourselves the way that he sees us, the way that he sees others, the way that he sees his children. Verses that talk about how we are adopted children, chosen children, created in his image, perfect, begin to challenge those thoughts. The way we react to things when we get angry then become something that has to be looked at, has to be confronted, has to be faced. Because if the challenge is to renew the way we think, if you really get down to the core of what that means, it means we have to change who we are. And this is not easy. It's not easy at all. It's not fun. It's not something that we always enjoy doing. But if we want to live into this new life that Paul talks about, then it's something that has to be done. I know for me, one of the biggest challenges is how I deal with anxiety. It's the way I've grown up, the way that I saw the world, the way I learned how to make meaning when things around me happen. It created anxiety in me, and I learned to respond to that through conflict, through arguing, through being stubborn, through standing my ground, through not giving an inch. But when I think about renewing the way I think, when I begin to hold my thoughts and my understanding of how life is up to this filter of Jesus, then I begin to be challenged when I get angry, when I get anxious, when I subconsciously, unconsciously go into this conflict mode. I have to be able to hold those moments up to Christ and say, is this truly who I was meant to be? Is this truly the new life that God has called me to? Or am I living the worldly life that I grew up in? Paul wrote this letter not just to the church of Ephesus, but to the church as a whole. He was talking to all Christians, reminding us that we are called into a new life, that it takes a renewing of our thinking, a renewing of our mind in order to live into this new life. And what happens when we begin to do that is we have to be aware of who we are now, how we were raised to think by the world, and we have to confront those. I think that's why I didn't like this sermon, is because I don't want to confront them. I don't want to deal with them. And it's not just internally. It affects how I deal with other people. Because if internally I begin to recognize that when I get angry or when I get anxious or when something happens that doesn't fit my control, my need for control, and I begin to recognize that I automatically go into conflict and bristle up, then how do other people see me? How does that relationship with other people form? How am I being Christ-like to those if I can't control myself, if I can't confront the way I think inside? How am I ever going to have the Christ-like brother-sister relationship with others? I mean, really, the way we think affects way more than we give it credit for. Because it's just something that's natural to us. It's just something that we don't even think about anymore. But if we are stepping into this new season and we're challenging ourselves to prepare ourselves to join Jesus in the work he's already at in our community and in this church, then we have to truly decide which life we're going to live. If we're called to serve others, how can we serve others if our way of thinking interferes with the relationships we build? What happens inside of you when you get upset and you get angry and things don't work the way you want them to? Are you like me? Do you go into conflict? Or maybe do you pull away? Are you one of those people that say they're not worth it? They're too aggravating to deal with. They don't do things the right way, so you pull away and you cut them off. How are we ever going to be the body of Christ if we can't deal with the issues at hand? Maybe you're one of those people that just pushes others out of the way and says, get out of the way, I'll do it. Or you just give up and say, whatever, you just do whatever you want. The way we think affects who we are, and it affects how we relate to others. I mean, there's so many scriptures that just keep popping in my head about this. The one where Paul says, take every thought captive and hold it up to Christ. How many of us do that? Or how many of us just react the way we've always known to? This call to be renewed is a call to step into this new life that we all have in Christ. But like I said, it's not easy. And there's more to it than just being a good person. There's more to it than just being a positive person. So many times we try to define ourselves by saying, well, yeah, I'm a good, positive person. We're one of those people where when things happen to us, we say, well, you know, it was meant to be. Or we say, well, I can't wait to see what happens next. This brings a new challenge to my life. I like challenges. But we also have the people that are the opposite. Especially this year, what else can go wrong? Why me? It never ends. We try to define ourselves by making ourselves a positive person, but maybe that's the wrong filter we need to use. Maybe we need to start thinking about all the lessons we've learned from Jesus and holding our thoughts, holding our reactions, holding our instincts up to that filter. One of the things that comes to mind is where Jesus says, in order to find life, you have to lose life. You have to give up your life. Take up your cross. I wonder if he wasn't talking about the way we think, the way we see the world. I wonder if he didn't understand what he was asking. I wonder if we didn't understand what he was asking. What does it mean to give up everything you've grown up knowing? What does it mean to begin to challenge the way you respond to things in your life? What does it begin to really evaluate how the way you think and the way you react and the way you deal with life and how that affects others? How does that begin to change your life? What would your life look like if you truly stepped into this renewing of the way you think? The other thing that really bothered me this week was the way this challenges my understanding of faith, the way I think about faith. So often faith is a crutch, faith is a comfort zone, faith is a safe place. What does faith look like if we change the way we think and every thought we have we hold up to this filter of Jesus? What does that mean about the way we approach church? Is church just something we do every week? Is it a routine? Is it a social gathering? Is church just a happy place and a good battery charger that we go to every week? Is church over there? Or when we hold this understanding and thinking up to the filter of Christ, do we become the church? Do we become this body of Christ? This being that embodies Christ to the world around us? What about the way we serve, the activities at the church, the small group meetings, all of the extras that come along with church? The burdens that church brings with it. Man, that sounds bad, doesn't it? But how many of you say, I don't have time for that? It doesn't fit into my schedule. That's not a part of the activity of church that I want in my life. I don't want to be that kind of person. I just want to be a good person. I go to church every week. It's good. But when you talk about serving and you talk about giving of your time, giving of your talents, actually being an active part of the body, that begins to be less attractive, uncomfortable. It begins to challenge the way we understand faith because it begins to be more more than we bargained for. It begins to take over, or begins to try to take over more of our lives than we want to give it. So if we renew the way we think about everything, who we are, how we interact with others, and we hold our thoughts up to this filter of Christ, and the way we think about our faith becomes challenged. I got one for you. What if I just say the word money? What thought pops into your head? Oh my gosh, the preacher is talking about money again. I knew there was a catch to this Be Renewed season. Is that the world talking? Or are you holding that thought up to the filter of Christ? This booklet I was talking about, just the very name, I bet some of you cringed when I mentioned it earlier. The Giving Discipleship Journey. They're just putting a new spin. A new spin on the word. But what happens when you hold money up to the filter of Jesus? When you look at passages and parables that deal with money, does that begin to change the way you, or does it begin to change what you place value on in your life? Does it begin to challenge your faith? Nolan said something last week, and I've heard him say it a million times, but it's so true. If God wanted our money, he would just take it. But what controls our thoughts? Where did we learn the way we think? From the world or from the filter of everything Jesus taught us? If you think about those two things, and then you think about money, which filter are you using? If you want to be challenged, if you want an opportunity to renew the way you think, read this booklet. Work your way through it. The most challenging thing for me about faith, about the way I think about faith, about who I am, how I interact with others, and how that affects my faith life, the most challenging thing for me is the very core of the gospel message. The very message that Jesus came preaching to everyone he spoke to. He said, the kingdom of God is here and now. But everything I learned growing up says, no, it's something I'm waiting for. How can we have this kingdom of God, this righteous place, when everything I know is conflict and pulling away and there's pain and there's tears and there's hurt. And I choose to dive into that. How come every time something happens to me, I make a meaning that's negative if the kingdom of God is here and now? Maybe that's because I haven't renewed the way I think to be in line with everything I learned from Jesus. Because think about it. If the kingdom of God is here and now, and we are adopted, chosen, created children of God in his image, and we're challenged to think about everything, to take every thought captive and hold it up to Christ and hold it up to this filter of everything we've learned, and we begin to do that, And we begin to look inside and understand how we react to the world around us because we're doing it the way we were taught by the world. If we begin to challenge those reactions and react the way that Jesus taught us to, then the interactions we have with others begin to change, right? They have to. They have to change. Because if we're not reacting out of conflict or pulling away or pushing people out of the way to do it for them, then we're changing the way we interact with others. Instead of seeing people as burdens, we begin to see them as brothers and sisters, and we begin to work with them, and we both look at things through this filter of Jesus. Then the world around us begins to change. And if the world around us begins to change because we have the faith to truly believe these words, because we know they're true, we know they're trustworthy, we know we're invited into this new life, we're invited into this kingdom of God here and now, then how does that begin to affect everything we do, everything we understand about the church, about who we're called to be, about being a part of the body of Christ? Everything we understand, and we start to see how when we hold our thinking up to this lens of Jesus, we begin to see the world around us change. We begin to see our church change. We begin to see the community of Foley change. We begin to see this awakening we've been praying for, because all of a sudden we're not just being the same old person in a new way. We're becoming a new person, reborn in Christ. And we begin to live into the kingdom of God here and now. Man, how would your life change? How would that change everything you know, everything you understand, everything you've ever learned as a child, all the way to now? I would love to tell you that all you have to do is decide to do this, and it'll happen. I would love to tell you that it's going to happen overnight. All you have to do is begin the journey, and the transformation will be complete by tomorrow at 10:14. It's a 24-hour thing. That would be great. I would love it. But it's not. I would love to tell you that all you have to do is show up every Sunday and listen to me and Nolan. But that's not going to do nothing. I would love to tell you that all you have to do is look to the church for guidance. But let's face it. It's not just one person that needs to change and be renewed in the way they think. It's all of us together. And that's how this will happen. When we gather together, when we hold each other accountable, when we challenge each other to face the way we grew up thinking, and to step into this new way of thinking, to be renewed in the teachings of Christ and think the way he taught us to. So we know this is going to be a long journey. We know this is going to be something that takes us sometimes a lifetime. But we know where it begins, where Paul told us it begins, by renewing our mind, by taking every thought captive and holding it up to Christ. And I don't expect you to be able to do that right off the bat, but what I do challenge you to do, what I do challenge you to do is to take one thought captive this week and hold it up to Christ. One thought. Whatever that thought might be, ask God to spur you in the moment. Be open to the voice that says, this is the thought. And be ready. It may be when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself and you say, I just don't like what I see. It may be that's when God spurs you and says, take that thought. Take that thought captive and hold it up to this filter, and then what do you see when you look back through this lens? Do you see the child of God I created? Or it might be when somebody aggravates the fire out of you. And your natural instinct might be like mine to go into conflict and to want to argue about something that made you so upset. It may be that you want to pull away. It may be that you want to just push them out of the way and take over. But what if that's the moment that God spurs you and says, take this thought captive. Everything you've learned to this moment that teaches you to respond to this anxiety the way you are, take it captive. Hold it up to the lens of everything I've taught you. How would you respond then? What happens if instead of anger and anxiety and frustration that you respond from a place where Jesus says love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness? That's what I challenge you to do this week, is to take one thought and hold it up to everything you know that Jesus has taught you. And then renew the way you think about it. Step into the new life that we've all been called to live. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have invited us into this new life. Lord, we are so grateful that we have been reborn into this new life. But Lord, we recognize the challenge that comes when you ask us to give up the old life, to let go of everything we know, everything we've ever understood, everything we've ever learned. Lord, when you challenge us to live into the life you have taught us about, Lord, it confronts everything, every thought we have. But Lord, instead of picking and choosing how we're going to live into this faith, you ask us to renew the way we think about it. So Lord, I pray for everybody listening today. I pray that you would speak to them this week, that in that moment, whatever moment you know is right for them, you would remind them of this challenge to take every thought captive, to be ready to renew the way we think. Lord, make it real. Make it a moment that they can take a glimpse of the new life you're calling us to. Lord, let it be a moment they step into the kingdom of God here and now. Lord, renew our hearts and renew our thinking. In Jesus' name.